This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
As I said, it is a very busy college basketball card coming up tonight, and our producer, Luke DeVosta, on the program today. There isn't a mic set up in the back, so tough to him for him to join us throughout the entire show. But he has put together something called The Angle in College Basketball. We'll talk about, there are two plays tonight, by the way, which we are going to get to eventually here in this segment. You'll find out what they are. But do I have this right? It's 35 and 10 last 40, well, basically 45 plays since you noticed this?
Yeah, 35 and 10 ATS since I first noticed it, which was, back on January 20th was the first day I really started tracking, noticing that this was hitting at a rate that was interesting. So that was the first day, January 20th. And I do have a little story about that because we talked about it on the show. We actually did mention that this angle was involved in a couple of games that day. It was Kent State and Missouri. Kent State was taken on Miami, Ohio. Missouri was taken on Georgia. Both of those teams were, we should have faded. But I bet them, went 0-2 and realized this thing might be pretty strong. So I actually started fading it.
Oh, crazy. I see. Okay. So you started January 20th. The college basketball season starts right away in November. I wonder what the results were for the first two months of the entire year.
Yeah. I mean, because the reason I found this was through putting together the info on the rundown. Because Mitch was the one who put these sites into my sphere, kind of the Ken Palms, the Bart Torvik, the Hazometrics, but I didn't have the subscription for Ken Palm. So I went Bart Torvik, Hazometrics, and Greg Peterson.
You're at VSiN, yep.
Yep. And just kind of started plugging away with those. And I don't know if I just wasn't focused on anything in particular. We were kind of tracking, you know, differences in lines, how many points away is a certain game. But the actual flipping of the favorite ended up being what has kind of been the most valuable. And it did take a while though to find it, but happy we did.
Can you expand on what constitutes a play then? And what goes into everything?
Yeah.
So, and one other thing too. 10 losses, 78% last 45 plays. Four of the 10 losses were on one day. That was a busy Saturday, February 7th, went 4-4 ATS and all close losses. So it's been an incredible run. But define it, please.
Yeah. So the angle essentially comes down to these three sites, Bart Torvik, Hazometrics, and then Greg Peterson here on VSiN. So two of those sites are free. One you're subscribing for here. But if those three sites say one team is favored and you check the book and it has the opposite team favored, that's when you agree with these three sites. You take the dog at the book and roll from there. So that's why every single play we see is a dog. They can't be favorites. And every single one is obviously close to 1.5, 2.5, 3.5 because you're able to flip the line that way.
Now, how about that? After what we've discussed for 2 weeks straight, 3 weeks about the false favorite, 8 straight angle plays have been +1.5.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And you've cashed 6 in a row now. +1.5 over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Over the weekend, it was 6-0.
Yes. 6-0.
And every game was 1.5. And what do you have here? 6 of the last 7 losses were all super tight games and lost by 3 points against the spread?
Yeah. So 6 of the last 7, all exactly 3-point losses, so all by 1.5 on the spread, all coming down to that last possession. I think going back, I can only recall like 1 or 2 blowouts. There was a blowout like a month ago, Cal Poly. I had one night, and there was just no chance for them the entire game. But everything else is either insanely close loss, heartbreaking, devastating, bad beat comeback like we had with Holy Cross.
Holy Cross was up by 19 at halftime, catching points, and they lost.
And everything else, it's just like these games almost have, it's weird to say, but like each game almost has a similar pattern to the others in the sense of it's like it's a strong run typically for the team I'm betting on early.
Yeah.
And then they kind of fade. There's been some comebacks too. We had Lehigh come back against BU over the weekend. It's crazy.
Good observation. Good for an in-play angle too.
Mm-hmm.
As our side is usually off to a nice lead.
Yep. So have you noticed though, in all these winners, how many of those are actually close games? Because the market is telling you like it's supposed to be a close game overall, whether or not it's the actual betting number that you're getting or the projection sites, right? Like it's pretty close. Like this is not, again, you're not trying to find if Torvik, Peterson, and Haslam have a game all at like -9 and the market is -2, that's not what the story is here. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong favorite, basically, is what the angle comes down to. Have you noticed that are these dogs typically winning overall in easy fashion, or have you had a lot of close games as well with the winners?
Yeah, I mean, I've only actually needed the hook a couple of times. I think it was like January 23rd, Buffalo. I had them +2.5. They needed a last second shot against UMass to cover. They lost. But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if I have an exact number on that, but it seems to be most of them are, if they're winning, you're pretty set towards end of game. Like I said, a couple of bad beats, a couple devastating losses, but yeah, for the most part, it's not super close. It's not blowouts, but it's not overly close either. I'm not totally sweating every single one to the bitter end.
Yep. Follow Luke on X, by the way, at Luke D I V. He tweets out all these plays when he notices them. Again, he uses three different sites, and if they all have one team favored, but the betting number is the exact opposite, that means fire on the underdog here. Or I should say, if the betting market has a team favored and all three other sites have that team flipped, there you go, 35-10, 45 plays since he documented this at 78%. Unfortunately, the way that you and I were talking about this before we came out here in this segment, we're probably not going to have a lot of games on a daily basis, even though the schedule is going to have a ton of games moving forward into the March Madness, just because as numbers get tighter, it feels like you're not going to have 2, 3, 4, 5 every single night, you think?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed that way. And like another thing, when I was checking back, going through this, just looking at these spreads, we've been talking about the 1.5 and it's mostly 1.5 now, but early in the year we had, a month ago, we had 2.5s, 3.5s, 4.5s. On January 24th, I bet UCF +2.5. They were favored or should have been favored against, I think it was Colorado. And that line moved to +4.5. So I hit it again and they won outright. Like it's so mm-hmm. even going against the line movement has been crazy, but yeah, lately it's all these 1.5s. I think it's just the books without football on. They're maybe a little more focused on some of these games in college basketball, and yeah, I hope we're loaded for like the first few days of the mid-major conference tournament.
Yes.
You know, because
yes.
I think when we get to March, there's so few games. They're going to be locked in on everything. But yeah, I really think, you know, some of these like Patriot League first rounds, like all these types of smaller conferences, I think we could see some stuff.
All right, what's fits the angle today?
So today we've got one at 4:00. It is Charlotte taking on North Texas. Charlotte +1.5. And I believe every site had them around 2 or 2.5 point favorite against North Texas tonight. So that's at 4:00 Pacific, 7:00 Eastern. That's play number one.
And you can still find, I'm looking at the screen right now, you can, with various juice, but you can still find 1.5 out there. Some books actually have Charlotte now the favorite, but yeah, if you can still find 1.5 right now with Charlotte, that would qualify as a play, obviously.
And then the second one tonight, we have in the late window, 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, we're going with Loyola Marymount over Washington State. I believe they are still a +1.5 at most books, and that'll be tipping off, yeah. 8:00 Pacific, get them +1.5. I mean, like I said, there's only been a couple of times this thing's gotten hooked. So money line, just as, you know, maybe
I
just
don't know
as valuable.
About that. You're going to hate yourself. Yeah. Hate yourself. It falls one. That can happen.
It can.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, how about tomorrow?
So for tomorrow, I don't have anything just yet because some of these lines are still popping out. But what I've done is I've checked on, it's super easy to check on Bart Torvik's website. You can sort the games by line. So that kind of gives me those handful of games with the tight spreads. The best one I see, honestly, right now, and again, it's not official yet. We have to wait and see what the line is going to be. It looks like it's going to be Eastern Washington against Northern Colorado tomorrow. If Eastern Washington's posted as a dog, we're going to be betting them. That is one of those. And I think I see, I don't know if it's posted anywhere yet, but wager talks his pick at the moment.
Okay.
So,
well, great job by you. Again, Luke on X. He's at Luke D-I-V, Delta India, Victor, on Twitter. Phenomenal job overall. Have you upped the size of your bets at all since it really got hot?
I swear the one time I did, I think it was that 4-4 weekend. Yeah, I swear it was. Like, it was just, I was like, we got so much here.
Plus, you're on a 6-game winning streak, so you're probably concerned about tonight, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yep, tonight.
And you come on air and, you know.
Put it out there for everybody.
The kibosh has been put on it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I'm trying to keep it consistent, and it's just, it's genuinely been a fantastic just lesson in patience for me. I'm super impatient with a lot of stuff, so it's like, just locking into these few games when they pop up and hold off otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, because you've been texting me, we've been DMing, I've been, you know, I set your Twitter to my alerts as well, and I'm like, God, I got to go, and I don't. I have not gone, it's been the same exact unit every single time. Mm-hmm.
These are trash games too, I love it.
That's, let's get that's down what makes it even better.
Let's get down in the weeds, I know, it's beautiful.
Let's hit a 2-0 tonight, huh? That'd be nice. Thanks, Luke. Win-lose up next, two huge jackpots hit at Circa here yesterday. Paulie, details coming up.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in today, watching on YouTube TV. Thanks for listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates. Coming up in this hour, Mike Palm's going to join us, VP of this great property, in 15 minutes. Hardcore hockey breakdown. Post-Olympics, and we'll get into the card tonight, betting angles and individual cards, who's playing, who's not. And right now we go out to the Progressive guest line as a longtime listener to the show, friend of the program, TMI Ozzie from Dallas joins the program now. Ozzie, good to talk to you today. How are you, my man?
Doing wonderful. Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
Doing really well. Back at you. And you're coming on today for many reasons, but one of which is this is the one-year anniversary of your appearance on the show after you hit Joe Highsmith at this golf event a year ago at 950-1. When did you take us through this now? When did you bet him last year? Why did you bet him? And take us through the entire process here of it.
Let me do that. I heard y'all talking about this yesterday. Okay, so Saturday morning, after two rounds were completed, if I do a little TMI, just let me know. I'll live up to my name. Okay, so I'm sitting on the sofa getting ready to go to work. I'm watching the Golf Channel. They show a golfer makes a 30-foot putt or so to make the cut. And I'm thinking to myself, well, crap, the guys that I had bet on there, they didn't make the cut or they're out of it pretty much. So I said, let me look at this guy's odds. So I looked at his odds, and it was Joe Highsmith. I looked it up Saturday morning. Two rounds were completed, obviously. And I think you got it, 950 something to one. I said, and I remember Jake Knapp shot a 59.
And that's right.
On Thursday, he had a pretty good lead. He had an okay day Friday, but it was a pretty good lead. He had, he was 12 or 13. He was in last place, just shot a, going into Saturday. 12 or 13 off the lead. So I looked at it, 95,000. I saw a couple other golfers that were in the same position. They were, Highsmith was 950-1. The other ones were 450-1. I'm like, we'll see what happens. So I put I put $100 in there to win $95,000. I took it out. I said, I'd be so mad if he won. I've never bet $100 on anything. I don't know how that sounds, but that's pretty true. And I said, let me put $200 on there. So I put the $200 on there. And I also did hear that there was going to be the wind. It was going to be pretty windy later on in the day. You know, maybe the guys early on are going to have a better time of it. So who knows, you know. And I don't think anything else about it. I bet three golfers. and Highsmith was one of them, $200 on each one. And Highsmith was the highest payback on it as well. And middle of the day, I remember on Saturday, I am at the office and watching basketball at the office. It's in March. And one of my guys asked me, hey, who's won the golf tournament? Completely forgot I did the bet. Not who thinks they're going to win that, okay? Or even be in the money. See, so he said, hey, put it on golf. So I put it on the golf. And I see this name on the first page of the leaderboard on TV. And it was Joe Highsmith. And I actually forgot who I bet on. I couldn't remember his name. Remember the names, obviously. Mm-hmm. I never heard of Joe Highsmith. Yeah. And I said, that name sounds familiar. So I look it up in my phone, who I bet. And I said, then I had to look and see if there's more than one Highsmith.
Sure. That's right.
Well, he was three or four shots off the lead. He had finished. The other guys were taken off, you know, middle of the day. And the wind had kicked in. And by the day Saturday was up, when Saturday was over going into Sunday, he was just two or three shots off the lead.
Oh, and, wow.
And he, I would tell you, Jake Knapp, I remember on Sunday, there's a hole there that's a par three that's on an island surrounded by water. And I forgot, 10th or 11th hole somewhere on that course. And Jake Knapp went in the water twice on Sunday. Highsmith took the lead and he never looked back.
Incredible. He goes back to back. Goes back to back 64s. And what makes it even better, correct me if I'm wrong, he's only had one top 20 since the win?
Correct. Since the win. I hit lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the other guys that I bet on was Max McGreevy. He finished two shots off.
And you had him at 450-1?
I had him at, it wasn't in 950, but it was 450 or 500-1.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you like this bombs away philosophy and you look for the long shots.
Well, my philosophy, it only takes one, okay? And they do come in. Like, for instance, for golf, if I did my bets this week. I'll give you a few of the ones that I'm doing. One is Andrew Putnam. 150-1. So I do more of a, I really do love these golf tournaments, the Cognizant, the ones in the summer, the John Deere, the Rocket Mortgage, the smaller tournaments, because I think anybody can win. It's more likely a bomb's going to come in. And I will, let's say everybody's got a different bankroll, but I'm just talking. Say I was going to, I do a bigger bet on to win and a very small bet on top 10. I figure on top 10, I just want to get my money back and a little bit more. Let's say he doesn't win, but he comes in top 10. Mm-hmm. For instance, I had Jacob Bridgman 2 weeks ago, which really makes me upset. I had him 2-3 weeks in a row. I think I sent you those, Polly, Bridgman.
Yes.
And I had him 500 to win 75,000 or so at the, not this last tournament, but Pebble Beach. But I only bet him 100 to win 1,000 or so top 10. I just do the top 10 to cover my original bet. I really want to hit the ball. I'm not that interested in making top 10 money.
Okay.
If it can cover my original bet, now winning the top 10 doesn't really, I don't know how this sounds, doesn't really move the needle for me. But that big bomb does, let me tell you.
Damn right. Damn right.
How long have you had this philosophy?
Say that again.
How long have you had this philosophy in all sports betting, just going bombs away?
I would say 2021. I used to do a lot of -$2, -$3, maybe parlay them together and maybe come back on even money. You know, of course, they look like no-brainers. Of course, this guy's going to win and this guy's going to win, and it never happens. And in every sport, the upset happens. And they happen every day. You've got to be on the right one, and it only takes one. Only takes one.
You recently cashed a first-round leader. How are you playing first-round leaders, and if you have a strategy you use there?
First-round leaders, I love first-round leaders. I do not place a first-round leader bet till Tuesday afternoon. That's when I start looking at them, when the tee times come out. I only go on early tee times, the early guys. I don't know why, but it happens to always work out that way. I don't know if it's the greens are softer, the course is easier, or whatever it is. Of course, if there's weather, that changes things. You know, if it's going to be windy in the morning. But for instance, on this this course, there's no serious weather coming. But the earlier tee times, it seems like those guys that are teeing off early get off to the course plays easier for them. I will tell you this, and you don't know this, and I'm not going to mention names. I was talking to a professional PGA golfer today, and he has played on the tour for the last 10 years, won a tournament in the last 5 or 6 years. And he was here, and I was visiting with him, and he knows what I like to do. He knows about the golf bets. And he asked me, show me who you got. And I showed him four or five. We were talking about the first round. He agreed with me 100% on the first round. I goes, oh, yeah, plays much easier. Plays much easier. He goes, the greens are softer. Everything's much easier. And I showed him the guys I like to win the tournament. One of my main guys I have is Andrew Putnam at 150-1. And he goes, I really like him. He goes, he's the best putter that's playing this week. And that's one thing I always look at, who can putt. That's why it made me so mad. I've been on Bridgman for 2 or 3 weeks, and I jumped off him last week.
Yeah.
But been on him for 2, 3 weeks. But Putnam is, by stats and hearing my friend talk to me today, that by far the best golfer that is, a best putter that is playing this week. Of course, anything can happen.
Okay. So we have like a minute left here, Ozzie. Could talk to you all day. Are you strictly bombs away? Or for example, come Masters time, let's say Rahm or DeChambeau are scorching hot at LIV and you can get them at 14, 18 to 1. Will you just say, I've had a good year. You don't want, you won't put like 5,000 on them. You want nothing to do with them.
I want the bomb.
Okay.
I want the bomb. Yes. Just love it. Everything, whether it's slot machines or, you know, football, all the sports, including golf. I want the bombs away. Bombs away with Ozzie, guys.
Every Friday, we'll make
good.
It happen.
That's good.
We'll make
so,
it happen.
So you're up then, still based on this bet from last year for full season to date, yeah?
I had a real good spring and summer, up quite a bit. And I had a real good football season where I was up as well. I mean, I've sent y'all some of my football ones. I know we don't have much time, but you've seen the touchdowns and anytime touchdowns, the 30-1s, 20-1s. And I think Paulie knows this, Mitch, you too. When I bet a guy to score one touchdown, I always back it up to score two. You never know that guy to score two. That's when the real party happens, when he scores two.
That's right. That's right. Cam Hayward, 30-1 anytime.
I love that backup tight end. Paulie, the backup tight end.
Yeah. Yep. There you go.
Quarterbacks, right, backup tight ends. Thank you.
Thanks, Ozzie.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good job.
That's going to be once a week. Bombs away with Ozzie. I think we've got to do it.
Yes.
Betting angles tonight, NHL. Mike Palm coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Wednesdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, along with the Golden Gate and the D. It's been, 3 weeks, my man? How are you?
Well, it's been 3 weeks since I've seen you.
Right.
I did stop by.
I figured.
With Stormy and JVT. But yeah, I missed you guys after Super Bowl. I know you took a Caribbean.
First time in my life I've ever been down there.
How was it? I've never been.
First of all, the water is unbelievable.
Yes.
Warmer than the Pacific Ocean.
Is it nicer than the water at Stadium Swim, though? That's filtered every 50 minutes, completely filtered.
I would say unlikely. but my first time ever in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And the Atlantis. Now, again, I'm not a world traveler. The Atlantis is by far and away the biggest resort I've ever seen in person in my life. And I've heard Bahamar is actually bigger than that. But I didn't go there, so I don't know.
How was the food?
Here's the thing. That's the one thing that my wife and I wanted to do, but we didn't make it happen. We never took like a cab or any shuttle to get off property to go and get some real Bahamian like style food.
That's what I figured that you guys would want to do. Take a few excursions to test out the local food.
Yep. We didn't do that. Yeah. We did, though, take little Sebastian out to the pig island so he can go swimming with the pigs and you can feed him apples and bottles of milk. Oh, one of the highlights I've ever seen in my entire life. It's incredible.
Every time I saw a photo or video of baby Bash, he was surrounded by tens. It was unbelievable.
So how about this? Let me brag about my little boy for a second here. It's incredible how he has a knack to win women over. And he's not even 2 years old. Like, all of Lorraine's friends are good looking. They all, whatever. So we're at this, we're off this island. It's a, you can't even walk to the place. It's a floating restaurant and bar, right? And people are speaking all sorts of different languages. We come up there, they're playing great music. He's dancing around. You can ask my wife, I swear to God, there are three young Portuguese women who come up. And they're all roughly, I'm going to say early 20s, right? If I told you right now that they were going to kidnap Sebastian, I mean, they were absolutely in love with him. He went over and gave them all hugs. They wanted more hugs. And then he would walk away and come over to me, and he does this thing where he parties and raises the roof. He's like going, we got video, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm taking him out on the dock. All three of these girls, they never even had a drink or anything. They only wanted to be around Sebastian. Before they left, they made it a point to come over to him again and give him bigger hugs, and then made sure they said goodbye to him. Our entire party's like, what is happening right now?
Wingman, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a dog. Great job.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Good. How was he on a flight?
Probably B+, A-.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big one.
We're going to go hardcore hockey here. Definitely coming up with the full schedule of games with Mike. You know that you love the sport, obviously. What angles do you have, do you think, overall?
Well,
generally speaking.
I mean, the folks that were over there in Italy are exhausted. And then the Canadians got back to Toronto on Monday. The Americans flew to Miami, and then some went to the State of the Union. These guys, they're not going to be playing or mailing it in for a few games. Remember the angle when they take their 10-game break, when they had that sliding 10-game break? Those teams that had already gotten a few games under their legs against the teams that hadn't was a big angle. I'm going to be playing when there's a disparity of Olympians of three or more. I think you have to play on the team that had the fewer Olympians. I think that's got to be the formula through Saturday.
So you're going to go not tonight, not just tonight, tomorrow
not
night,
just
but
tonight
beyond
and
that.
Tomorrow night. I think
how about the rest angle though? At least I was playing. I've been playing the last couple of weeks. You haven't. Yeah.
How about the travel, though, Paul? They've gone through a lot here.
Okay.
My next biggest angle is the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. Certainly these Russians would believe if they had the team, they would have been the favorite even over Canada in the Olympics, right? I would think that they think they have a lot to prove coming out here, and I would look at individual player props on the Russian players in the next few days.
Including tonight?
I have a few tonight.
Let's dive into that then.
I have a few tonight.
Overall, and the ratings are off the charts. NBC and Peacock released that yesterday. But because of the 5 a.m. Pacific time start, we talked to Thomas Gable from the East Coast. He said it was good, but they're at 8 o'clock 3 hours later. Here, what was it like?
Look at Bar Canada. Bar Canada closes at like 1 a.m. and reopens at 8. Specifically, people were calling saying, we want to come watch it at Bar Canada. There was a group that had 30 that said it. So we decided to open Bar Canada at 4:30. Bar Canada had 120 people at it. They said there were around 150 people here just sitting on the sides at the book watching the match. I mean, I got up. I had my alarm at 5.
Sure.
Set it. My son wanted to watch the game as well. So they were up against it. It's 2:10 there, and then the whole closing ceremonies was coming up. The whole thing was wrapped up, right? I mean, I don't know really how they could have done it. And obviously, the women being able to play in midday was much better. But because the hockey ended the whole Olympics, I thought it was tough, and I didn't think they had a lot of options.
Do you think and it's in, what, France in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
So similar part of the world, obviously. Should they move the men's gold medal hockey match up to Saturday and so they can play it at a better time?
Rather play it Saturday night and get it a better time for what's most likely going to be the North American competitors. You'd think it's going to be Canada and the USA again.
Right, and so don't do it on Sunday morning. Then you could just get it out of the way on Saturday and then have a closing ceremony.
I think the International Ice Hockey Federation will do what they want to do, regardless of what they care about the TV viewing or fairness of MVP, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, you're going to have that coming up, and you can't be serious in about 25 minutes. Overall, what was your impression of that gold medal game, by the way?
Well, overall, my impression of the Olympics was off the charts, both men's and women's. I have to be honest with you. I don't know if I can go back to club hockey. I just don't know if I can tolerate the NHL now. I'm being a little facetious. Wasn't it an incredible, Paul? The whole Olympics.
It always delivers.
Three out of the four quarterfinals went to OT.
Yeah.
Yep.
Canada got themselves in trouble in almost every game,
yep.
right? I mean, they were the cardiac Habs, or however you want to call it.
Jeff Davis was right. They never played the part or looked like the power rating that we gave them.
That's true.
That is
beyond
true.
The first games, right? Yep. Beyond the very first initial games, they did not play the part of the dominant team.
Do you think there's an angle where Canadian players could still be hung over from that loss and you would not want to be on their player props? Or maybe you want to, if you want to look at teams with the most Canadian Olympians, maybe you want to fade them when they're playing because they're still a little bit dejected.
Maybe early. Maybe this is hard emotionally for them. And then you see Cooper's father died. John Cooper's father died. So he's going to be away from Tampa's kind of in a tough spot. And then to be such a huge favorite tonight. So he's going to be away from the team for two games. It's interesting because I heard on Toronto radio this morning, they were talking about for Americans, winning that gold medal might be more important than winning a Stanley Cup. But for Canadian players, winning the cup would be more important than winning the gold, although it was certainly a shot to them because it's their sport that they lost to them. But there's still the focus as a Canadian player is to win a Stanley Cup. It was a conversation. I don't know if I agree with
I would say I thought it'd be either vice side of it. Versa?
No,
I thought
Canada's got to win a cup. This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean a team from Canada, not Canadian players. I got you. Yeah. Okay.
How about the angle where you expect rust, which leads to goals? Because you're a round robin guy.
And I'm not playing unders tonight, I'll tell you.
Okay, there you go. So you could go goal in the first 10 in the New Jersey game, the Washington game, the Tampa game, the Dallas game, and we know how deadly Anaheim's been. We could close out with Anaheim. I can actually see Vegas, LA lower scoring, but we got backup goalies in Vancouver. But how about a round robin goal in the first 10? If there's a mistake right away.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah? Okay.
But you would typically play unders in this spot, but you're not going to do it this year.
But listen, if you're tired or if you're, if you're playing and you're tired, that does not lead to defense and getting back, okay, and a disciplined style. But most of these guys are not going to be playing, right? None of the goalies that are over there are going to be playing. If you look at who's been listed so far, I mean, a lot of these guys are taking one or two games off. Or they're just not going to be ready to play.
Yeah. That's really not a big surprise. But with Hellebuck, and they're kind of out of it anyway, did you think that he would maybe want to get back into the action tonight? He's not going to, but...
No, Comrie. No, I knew Comrie. You could bet on that it was going to be Comrie there. He played five games. He only got one game off.
If you're Hellebuck, you just take... I would just enjoy this
for the year off.
Yeah, in the next week.
You just got a presidential medal.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, he gets to show. They got the medal for that.
What if it was last year, though, in the standings?
Well, it's different when they're going for first place and home ice and all that, what they were doing. Here's a couple of things I would think in general. Edmonton needs a goalie still, right? I would think that they're calling St. Louis and Doug Armstrong and talking about Bennington. And I haven't heard this name come up. Bobrovsky's contract ends in Florida after this year. He's looking for another deal with the Panthers. I don't think they want to pay him. I wonder if Edmonton would go get Bobrovsky. If Florida would be willing to deal him. Now, obviously, if they'd have kept Spencer Knight, that's a whole different issue. But they've got to go and they've got to make a move somewhere. Crosby out for a month. Say goodbye to the Penguins. Yep. No playoffs there. Rantanen is a huge loss for the Stars. Mm-hmm. We knew we'd be talking about injuries here. And take a look at the Kings. I know John Davis does not think they're a very good team. They've got the easiest schedule the rest of the way out. I think the Kings are definitely a playoff team.
You do. Okay. We'll expand on that game. Yeah. Todd Furman came on with Money Moves earlier today before we were popping on the air. And I believe that he said, surprising to him, the number's not closer to $2 tonight on the Kings.
It's hard for a number to get that high against the Knights, though. Yeah. I mean, just because they take a lot of money in the market here. And it's Forsberg, right? It's not Kemper. Kemper's coming off the travel. So it's Aiden Hill and Forsberg. I get it. I think it's about right. I make this game about $1.55
or $1.60. Oh, that's so closer. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we want to get more takeaways from Mike Palm, and we'll go diving into tonight's schedule. 8 games on the board overall. We'll find out his approach to betting it with those player props that he mentioned coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back. Okay, let's get some hardcore college hoops bets tonight. And also, The contest here at Circa and on VSiN kicks up again this weekend. Matt Eumanns joins the program now on the Progressive Guest Line. Matt, can you share the details? I know Paul Stone's the defending champ. What else do you have to share about the contest beginning tomorrow night or Friday night?
Yeah, Paul Stone's going to be back. By the way, I was driving across town listening to your show today, and I heard you telling a story about your son, who's a well, he's about 2 years old, and he's a ladies' man, right?
Yeah, true.
And I could hear the envy in Paul Howard's voice, and all I could think of was Paul and Shauna have been together for a long time now. Paul, I think it's about time you had a kid so you and Mitch can trade stories.
That's 5 million to 1.
Yeah, she said there's no way that's happening.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Store's closed. That's it. No doubt about it.
Okay. Well, the Circa College Hoops Challenge is going to start Friday night, but it really starts Saturday morning because Circa puts out the overnight lines for college hoops at about 6 o'clock on Friday. So that's not really compatible with our 4 to 7 p.m. show. So we're going to leave the website open all night for entrants to put in their plays. And Tim Murray's going to announce all the plays on his Saturday morning show.
Very nice.
At around 8 o'clock. So we'll send all the plays out by VSiN Pro email, and they're all going to be on the website. But they're going to be up Saturday morning before the games start because we have to give people a fair amount of time. And just basketball contests just really don't work with a Friday night show because the overnight numbers don't come out soon enough. But Paul Stone, the defending champ, is going to be back. David Dineen, former Cal Poly sharpshooter, the champ 2 years ago, he's back in the tournament. Will Hill from VSiN, who won the inaugural tournament in, I guess, would have been 2023. So all three former champs are back. And, hey, we got the Circa Friday Football Invitational winner, Chris Massaro, is going to be in, and he's trying to pull off the rare double. Nobody's ever pulled off winning both handicapping tournaments in the same year. We have professional underwear model Dustin Sweetelson, and we have the GOAT of first touchdown props, Ryan Kramer.
Good.
So we got 15 handicappers, a bunch of VSiN guys, and you're going to get 5 best bets each week. This is going to go for 8 rounds and 45 plays. It's going to go all the way through the Monday night national championship game.
Excellent. What do you think tonight in half an hour? It's rare that Patino's catching this type of number. Well, what do you think of UConn 5.5 against St. John's?
You know, I don't play too many favorites. I played 4 sides in college hoops last night, and all 4 were dogs. But I'm playing the favorite here. Mm. And I laid 5 with UConn. Last night, when I watched the game between these teams on February 6th at the Garden, I circled it that night and said, when these teams play again, I'm going to bet UConn. I was hoping the number was actually going to come out a little bit shorter. I was hoping for maybe 3.5 or something like that here. But I laid 5 last night, and I think this number's high for a reason. Hurley has lost 3 in a row to Patino. Mm-hmm. You know that eats at him. And you know he wants to stop that streak tonight. And Hurley actually plays 9 guys, 9 pretty good players. This UConn team's deep. That loss to Creighton last week was a head-scratcher. I get it. When I saw the score, I couldn't even believe the UConn lost that game to Creighton. But, you know, sometimes that happens. Look, Michigan struggled at Penn State. Michigan struggled with Minnesota last night. So you're going to have off games. I think you're going to have a fully focused favorite here, highly motivated by their coach. UConn did bounce back with a win at Villanova over the weekend. And in that first meeting, the reason I circled it is I felt like UConn kind of got effed by the officials in that game. The free throw edge was plus 17 for St. John's, and it was 22 for 31 from the line for the Johnnies and 5 for 12 for UConn. And I think you're going to see kind of a reversal of that tonight. And even though this St. John's team has not lost since January 3rd and won 13 in a row, look at the opponents. Not a real impressive list of opponents. I think UConn wins and possibly wins big tonight.
Ooh. Okay, fair enough. Okay, as you said, you like to bet dogs. This is maybe the exception. Mm-hmm. UConn laying the 5 there against St. John's. Are you fading one of, if not the hottest teams in the entire country, the defending champion Florida Gators on the road against Texas?
Okay, so when I sent you that email last night, I was looking to bet Texas here, and 7 was my target number. It was pretty much 6 across the board. And I thought, well, I'll sleep for a couple hours. When I wake up, this number is certainly going to be 7 somewhere, and I can bet it. It actually went the other way. It went down to 6, 5.5. So I have not played it. I do want to play Texas here. but I'm probably going to live bet this game. We talk about this a lot. If you don't get the number you want pregame, be patient. Just sit back. You know, you can watch 5 minutes, and I might be able to get Texas plus 8.5, right, or something like that. So I do want the Texas side here, but I'm not taking the number because I wanted at least 7.
Is that right now, guys? 7 at Circa?
Yeah, it looks like maybe 7 at Circa.
7 here
now.
At Circa right now. All right. So the last time you were on, we talked about the Utah State-New Mexico game, and you made an excellent point about it's scary to lay 1.5. It's like they're begging you to take the favorite and the false favorite here, and it seemed, and Utah State blew them out. Well, here it is again. The Aztecs now have played themselves off the bubble, losing 2 in a row. They're 1.5 at home to Utah State. What do you think?
So I bet San Diego State is a pick'em last night. The Aztecs have lost 2 in a row, and obviously you can talk about must wins all you want for teams trying to get in the tournament. That's not much of a handicapping angle for me. It's just the first time these teams played, I thought the Aztecs outplayed them for a majority of the game and blew it late and ended up losing that 71-66. They're not playing their best ball right now, but how many times have you seen San Diego State lose 3 in a row, right? This is the type of game that Steve Fisher, Brian Dutcher always win. Utah State has actually not been very good on the road. I put a small bet on the Aztecs to pick them last night, and it's only a small bet because the line is suspicious to me.
Yep.
I made San Diego State a 3-point favorite here. When I saw this, I said, okay, something's not right. So I'm a little bit hesitant to make this play, but I did make it on the Aztecs.
By the way,
Magoon Gwath, their big man who's a rim defender, he's not playing a lot of minutes, but he is back. So I think the Aztecs are at full strength tonight, too.
I never thought of it until you said it on that show. Teams laying 1.5, 2.5 have been absolutely pathetic, and they usually get blown out. When you go back and look, how about Wisconsin and Oregon? What do you think of Wisconsin on the road laying a short number?
Okay, so I don't love recommending money line parlays on favorites, but I'm going to play whiskey on a money line parlay tonight. And just because I don't trust Badgers laying the points here. Oregon's been playing better since Nate Biddle came back. And Biddle's made a difference. I mean, he's a guy that does a little bit of everything for that Oregon offense, and he's actually a pretty good post defender too. So with Biddle back, the Ducks are not as pathetic as they were before. In fact, they were very competitive and had a shot to beat Purdue on the road as about an 18-point dog a couple weeks ago. I love the way Whiskey's playing in general. Draw a line through the blowout loss at Ohio State. I think this Whiskey team is playing at a really high level. Probably gets the win tonight, but I just don't want to lay the points. So if you're looking for some other favorites on the card to match it up with, I played Grand Canyon and Iowa. And these numbers, the Iowa number has gone up a little bit. It was 6 overnight. I think it's when I left home, I think it was around 7 or 7.5. But Iowa's not going to lose to Ohio State tonight. Grand Canyon is not going to lose to UNLV. So take that for what it's worth. If you like putting together favorites, I know sharp, it's not the sharpest way to bet all the time, but sometimes if you like favorites and you want to pair a couple up on a money line parlay, Grand Canyon and Iowa would be a couple good ones tonight. And maybe you throw whiskey on there with UConn or something like that.
Okay, very good. A couple of minutes left here. Matt Eumann's our guest, Progressive Guest Line. Who do you like? Who are you going to go to war with this week, beginning tomorrow now at the Cognizant Classic on the PGA Tour?
Okay, I'll tell you that. By the way, you said Texas is a plus 7 now. Is that everywhere or is it just at Circa?
That was at Circa on the screen. I'll look here while you're talking about the PGA.
Okay. All right, so the Cognizant Classic in South Florida is definitely not one of the marquee events. In fact, the West Coast Swing on the PGA Tour is my favorite time of year to bet golf. You go to Florida, it gets a little bit tougher to handicap. And in fact, most of the top players are not in this tournament. But Shane Lowry is in this tournament, so I'm going to take the fat Irishman here. He's got 3 top fives in the past 4 years in this tournament, and he finished 11th last year. But 4 years in a row, he's been in the hunt to win this tournament. He's done everything but win it. International players have fared well on this course. So I played Lowry at 19-1, also played Lowry top 10 at plus 230. And I think that's probably a pretty good bet there, considering the guy's been 11th or better 4 years in a row. So Shane Lowry, top 10 plus 230. That's the only bet I'm going to have on this golf tournament.
Okay, very good. It looks like, by the way, tons of steam coming in the Gators before tip. FanDuel's up to 7.5, Matt.
Really? Well, let me tell you this about steam. Don't let steam scare you away if you like his side. You guys realize what happened. You probably talked about what happened last night with UCF and BYU.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, crazy.
I took UCF plus 11.5 overnight, thinking that was a pretty good number. It gets steamed all the way up to 14, and I'm sitting there doing a show with Hoops Peterson last night thinking, well, I must be screwed on this. Somebody knows something about BYU. And then UCF blows their doors off. So don't let the steam scare you away if you like a play.
Well said. I'm searching right now if maybe somebody's out for Texas. I can't find anything right now, so just must be that's coming in. Thanks, Matt. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Best bets coming up in pocket plays on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.